Our first reading is from Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. And the second reading is Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It may sound strange to have two readings, but I want to speak about the way in which we need to keep together the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I've entitled it Word and Spirit. There's an old saying about Word and Spirit which is true in many parts. It goes something like this: if you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. But if you have the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. And this morning I want to sort of hold together these two key beliefs of Christians, that the Bible is the Word of God, but we also need the work of the Holy Spirit working in us. And I want to draw your attention, first of all, to that first verse in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it again because it illustrates the meaning of this verse. Back in the 70s, I had the privilege of visiting missionary friends in Peru. On one occasion, we did a long trek in the Andes, and we arrived at a remote settlement and village. When evening came, and at that time of year in the winter, at 6 o'clock, it was pitch black. We went from where we were staying in a house. There were no roads, there were no paths, but there was a very, very steep, glossy slope where we couldn't see anything. And I didn't know whether there was a precipice at the end of it or whether there were rocks or anything. I could not see anything. But then helpfully, somebody gave me a lamp. And I could see where to put my feet and how to take the next few steps until we arrived safely at the bottom of the village and went to the local church. It was then that I fully understand this word from the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because we live in a dark world, and we need the illumination of the light of the Bible and the Word of God in order to help us to make our way through this world. And perhaps in three different ways. First of all, the Bible reveals to us the character of God. Sometimes you may find the Old Testament difficult to read. It covers centuries of history. But bear in mind that through this long history, which you may find difficult, it demonstrates that God is a faithful God. That God is there all the time through the centuries, revealing himself bit by bit to the people of Israel. And then finally in the New Testament, revealing himself fully in the person of Jesus Christ. So that through the Bible is a lamp to our feet. It lightens the way we go. It helps us to understand who God is, what he's doing, how faithful he is, how great he is, how gracious he is. How terrible are his judgments, certainly, for those who sin. But how gracious he is for those who repent and believe in him. And then secondly, the Bible gives us instruction for living. All the way through both Old Testament and New Testament, we have directions for living. In the Old Testament, we have the Ten Commandments, which are a good recipe for any nation in the world today, if only they would keep them. And then in the New Testament, we have all sorts of ways in which we are taught through the Sermon on the Mount and the teaching of Jesus, how we are to live and how we are to direct our lives. God loves us. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to leave us in the darkness. He wants to see light for the next few steps on the road that he wants us to take. And step by step through the Bible, God reveals himself through his word and helps us to know how we might walk with him. And then in the Old Testament, God reveals that he has a bigger plan than is yet revealed in that Old Testament, that one day a Messiah would come. There were kings who were great, like David, but there was no one who could save the nation. And the Old Testament tells us that one day a Messiah would come, someone who was very special, and that although we had sinned and gone astray, God would lay upon him, Jesus Christ, all our sins and all our burdens. And through God's word, God would reveal the plan he had for this world and enable us to know where to put our feet step by step as we went along the journey of life. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I hope you will take that it is God's word to you. God is able to speak to you if you will just open your word and listen and hear what he said. We live in a dark and difficult world where there are conflicting theories and ideas. We're in the darkness. It's like a steep, grassy slope going down to who knows where. But with God's word, we have a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But then we have the work of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, in those few verses we read, we read key things about the work of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 5 of Ephesians and in verse 18, we read these key verses. Do not be drunk on wine, says Paul, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. How does God, the Holy Spirit, work in our lives? First of all, he comes at whatever stage in our lives to convict us of our sin and to make us realize that we had a need of a Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes and moves in our minds and our hearts and propels us towards that point where we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, did you come as a young person to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Did you come perhaps in your teens to come and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Did you in your 20s or 30s, perhaps with the pressures of life upon you, suddenly realize that this Savior, Jesus Christ, about which the Bible speaks so much and about which people speak about, this is real? And did you come to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ in your 20s and 30s? Was God's Spirit working in you, illuminating your minds and quickening your heart's response? Or maybe in middle life, after difficulty or tragedy or distress or pressure of work or life, you came to realize that all the things of this world were not satisfying you, and God the Holy Spirit was at work with you, preparing the way in your heart so that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Secondly, the work of the Spirit is a gracious work of guiding us through our lives. I'm so grateful for the way in which God has led and guided me through life. I've made mistakes. I've not always done that which is right. But I'm so grateful that through my life, in all the ups and downs of life, the Holy Spirit has been guiding and leading and directing and controlling, overruling mistakes, making possible my forgiveness. The Holy Spirit leading and guiding in the work you do, in the choice of partner and wife or husband, or perhaps guiding some people to be single in their lives, because God does call some to be single and to be like Paul the Apostle, a single man devoted to the life of Christ and the work of Christ. And we need the Spirit of God as we seek employment and seek to find God's way and God's plan. How many of you have changed jobs through your life and you've sought the Lord and wanted His guidance and your leading, and God has directed you and guided you by His Spirit? And how many of you perhaps in older life have found the comfort and blessing of the Holy Spirit as you found assurance of God's plans and purposes for you in older days? And then in our service for Christ, God by His Spirit has revealed to us different gifts by which we may serve the Lord. There are four different lists of gifts of the Spirit in the Bible. I'm not going to go through them today, but simply to say that there's a great variety of ways in which we can be of use to God. And perhaps I just want to point out, although there are four different lists in Romans 12, two in 1 Corinthians 12, and one in Ephesians 4, I want just to highlight one particular gift that sometimes gets overlooked because people emphasize the more dramatic of the gifts. I want to emphasize the gift of service. Those, for example, who on a Thursday morning serve coffee in our coffee morning. It's a simple way of serving the Lord, but it brings people in from the community. It enables us to reach out into our community. Or perhaps those who serve at the Friday Lunch Club for seniors. It's hard work serving for 50 people, preparing a meal, serving, and then clearing up and washing up afterwards. I want to emphasize that God uses this gift of service to be a blessing to people and to be a means of drawing people in. And for those who help with Messy Church, reaching out to young families and children. It can be hard work, but God uses his servants and provides a gift of service in order that some of us might be able to serve in those ways. So by his word and by his spirit, God leads and guides us through our lives. By his word, in a dark world, he guides our footsteps and makes plain our way and leaves us in no doubt as to the way he wants us to go and the laws by which we are to be kept. And by God's Spirit, he gives us the power and the grace and the leading and the inspiration to be able to fulfill the highest purposes that God has for us. But I want to finish by speaking about a wider work of the Holy Spirit that is necessary in these days in our country. I've talked about the world looking black in many ways. Mention has already been made in the service of those 30 or so people who were trapped in the container and died through starvation, perhaps, or cold. We live in a terribly dark world, and our nation is far from right in the sight of God. We're all adrift. And what we desperately need is a work of God's Spirit in a wider, more powerful way throughout our land at this time of difficulty, at this time of confusion, at this time of uncertainty. That by God's Spirit he may move in the hearts of men and women and turn them from the idols in which they put other things before God. We need God's Spirit to move in a mighty way. We need revival. And only by God's Spirit can any difference be made in this nation of ours, which desperately needs to hear from the Lord and to respond to him. I say this not lightly, but I fear our nation is going in a backward direction away from God. Three quarters of our country at least have little or no knowledge of the Christian faith. I was reading in the paper, however imperfect it may be, that so many of our young people and children never enter a place of worship or Sunday school or Christian work. We are in a desperate situation. And as I come before you, I bring before you this double message of word and spirit. The word which gives us light in a dark world, and the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to be able to fulfill God's plans and purposes, both in our own lives, both in our immediate circle, in our churches, but in our wider society. We come before the Lord and we cry before him for a greater work of his Spirit that will move across the land and inspire and light up the light of the gospel in the hearts and minds of young and old alike. It is the only way for our nation at this time. By God's word and by the work of his Spirit. I've come to the end of what I want to say. We're going to be singing a song which I think I've chosen before, but which I not only like, but I believe it's important to highlight the need for God's Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine on our nation. Shine on our dark world. That is to be our prayer. And I'm going to ask the singers to come forward just now and begin to prepare. But then also, perhaps as we stand at the end, and I'm going to allow just a pause for us to respond if we feel it's right. As we just pause at the end of our service, that we may want to bring our prayers and our words to the Lord this morning. Just a brief prayer before we sing. O God, our Father, forgive us that as a nation we have strayed far from your ways, and as individuals we've not always sought the guidance of your word, nor been open to your Spirit. But this morning, once again, speak to our hearts and speak to our lives, and help us to see your great and mighty power revealed by your Spirit in our nation today, that we may see the glory of the Lord once again in our land. Amen.